At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is 93.7 The Ticket.
Look at me short. Look at me short. I'm the captain now.
Three-time national champion, Vershawn Jackson.
Touchdown. Vershawn Jackson, number 34, gets the touchdown.
Terrell Farley.
Defending Terrell Farley.
Who last week in his first start was a holy terror. Number 43.
And Jake Bakoven. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. On air and online at theticketfm.com. Powered by Bauer. Here he is, Vershawn Jackson.
Yeah. Happy Monday morning, everybody. This is the Black Shirt, Terrell Farley, and I'm with
Bach.
And this is the Ticket 93.7, the Captain Show. And this morning, we're going to have a couple of talks about the spring game or the cold game because it was kind of chilly out there. Yeah, it was chilly. I stayed the whole game, though.
Did you really?
Some of it I watched from the inside, but, you know, I had to bear with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was proud of you. I was going to go to the game. I took my whole family. We got out, and we walked half a block. I said, oh, we're just going to go watch TV.
Captain, is this thing on?
This thing is on.
Oh, yeah, it's on. We got the captain, y'all. He's dealing with some dealership stuff today, but, hey, he's on the air with us.
Hey, man, I am on location. I am in Wichita, Kansas. I got to pick up 3 cars. You know, this is my only day off from the restaurant, but it's not a day off. Okay, I got to work. I got to get it when I can. So, you know, you got to pick it up and keep it going, man. Keep it moving. But spring game. My thoughts. Overall, I gave us a D+.
Ooh, that's not a good grade. Ooh, wow.
Boy. Can we get 2 grades? I want to go offense and defense.
Yeah, we're going to break. I think we should break down every position. Yeah.
So overall, you gave it a D?
I gave him a D.
A D plus, hey. Don't take that plus away.
I don't know. A D plus.
I gave different people different grades, different groups different grades, but I went back and watched the scrimmage twice.
Yeah.
And listen, I give the coaches, you know, based on what they have to work with, I thought that they did, you know, C+, B- material, based on, and they did a good job of not showing their whole hand.
Yeah.
It was very vanilla, offensively, right? Because when I looked at that, I was like, okay, you don't have Fleeks and, what's the kid's name that scored the first, that scored a touchdown? What's his name? Little short guy. Help me. Phenomenal athlete. Big play receiver.
Gabriel.
Come on, Bach.
No.
I don't know who. No wide receiver scored
Billy
a touchdown.
Yeah, Billy Kemp.
Okay.
Didn't Kemp get in?
Yeah, he played, yeah.
He got in the end zone.
I don't think he got in the end zone. Because
I thought he did. I thought he got in there on a little short pass or something.
No, there is no passing touchdowns.
That was the 2-point conversion, I think. It's
That's what you're thinking of. That's right.
Okay, that's what that was. Well, I mean, at least we got that done.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, you didn't see all 3 of those guys playing at the same time, you know, on the same field, and I thought that was a good wrinkle because it kind of made you think, you know, everything was kind of easy because it was mushed up. So I thought that was a good job disguising, you know, what was to come and making the teams evenly distributed. So I thought that from a coaching standpoint, you know, you don't want to tip your hand in spring and say, oh, this is what we're running, so now you can prepare for that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's start with quarterback.
Well, let us give a grade out. We want to give a grade out.
Overall grades, guys.
I say C-.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of sloppy. I did like what I see from the defensive standpoint. Billy Kemp is actually a little than I thought he was. I actually had a conversation with him after the game, and we talked about some people that we know, mutual friends, and talked to his parents and stuff. But, like I say, I'm glad you're here to help the team. But overall, I think we got a long way to go. I just leave it like that and let you talk, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, we can dress it up as nice as we can at certain times in the off season, but this looked like a 4-8 team in a first spring of transition and install and all that, and hopefully they can take great strides, but they've got a long way to go. So I mean, I'm with you guys. I can't even go C+. I mean, that was an ugly game. You got to just admit what it was. A lot of turnovers. You know, not a whole lot of big plays. I mean, you're grading one against the other, obviously, but looks like a long way to go, so I can only go with a C-.
Yeah, well, I mean, offensively, I mean, if we start breaking down the different teams from offense to defense and special teams, offensively, it was just sloppy, sloppy, sloppy.
Yeah.
I mean, you have balls all over the ground, all over the place, first of all. Second of all, if you really dive, if you're a coach, we had linemen busting. We had tight ends. I don't know. You know, everybody's like, oh, it's tight end group. It's tight end group. But they were busting all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, busting. That means missing blocks. Offensive line, same thing. Missing blocks. Missing assignments. Not being on the upfield shoulder. I went back and watched it because I was wondering, like, I thought we would have more big plays on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and not having those big plays on the ground kind of it kind of shocked me. And then defensively, you know, I would like to have seen a couple of picks, not late in the game, early in the game. We didn't see that, but I didn't think the quarterbacks, and I'm going back, but I didn't think the quarterbacks effectively hit open men. The defensive backs did a good job, but men were running open. We just didn't hit them.
Well, it was interesting, too. And I think you obviously have to kind of break it apart because I think one guy looked pretty good in Jeff Sims, the guy we expected. Not overwhelming. Didn't necessarily convince you that he's definitely going to beat Casey or anything like that. But he looked solid. Led Nebraska on most of the drives where they scored. Again, from there, we saw it last year where there was trouble beyond Casey. And, of course, obviously, Jeff Sims wasn't there. Those other guys, you know, you're hoping maybe to take a step. I got to be honest, Heinrich Harburg, we talked about it before. The defense, our offensive coordinator, Marcus Satterfield, said he had a superpower running the ball. I think that type of language probably should be reserved for a starter or a game breaker or something. He had a good run. But he looks like a long way to go at quarterback. And so, you know, basically, you know, Purdy kind of looked like Purdy does, you know, so, I mean, Torres didn't overwhelm or anything. So I think quarterback, certainly I would separate Jeff Sims from the group. But as a whole, I mean, what are we talking about here? Each side finished 13 of 27, no passing touchdowns, each side with a pick.
When I look at Jeff Sims, I do see a quarterback that can get it done. Mm-hmm. But I also see the ball on the ground as well. Yeah. Ball security, you know, the ball went through his hands one time. The ball hit the fullback a couple times. The ball's on the ground far too many times for me to say that Jeff Sims is better than Casey Thompson. To me, Casey Thompson is still a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, you're right.
Period. Period.
The thing I seen from Jeff Sims, I did like some of the runs that he was able to bring the ball down quickly, as Casey wouldn't do. But with the turnovers and the ball on the ground, I didn't see him separate himself from Casey. I mean, this is a wide open competition that will head all the way to the last day of fall, and it depends how well Casey adapts to this new offense. Now, Casey's a smart guy. But I don't see Jeff Sims beating Casey out to run this team next year. I can see Jeff Sims playing in a lot of situations, but I don't see him starting.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can see Jeff Sims being in, and it'd be a great 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
But I think when I'm looking at a game manager, a guy that can get things done, a guy that can put balls in tight situations or give guys an opportunity to make a play on the ball, Casey has proven that he can do that. And I just didn't see enough from Jeff to make me say that he's better than Casey. No. From the bill of work that I saw Casey do last year, I just, to me, Jeff Sims. Now, I will say, because I want to, quarterback-wise, I think we've got that covered, okay? Casey Thompson, to me, is number one still. Jeff Sims is number two. And then you got a host of guys that can be number three. Offensive line, and overall, I thought I gave us a D plus, but I gave us a C-. I agree with you, Terrell. But offensive line-wise, I gave us a D. I thought that although we did some decent things, bro, look at the rushing yards. The rushing yards tell the story. You had no, did you have what, one, how many rushing touchdowns did we have in the first half?
So all the scoring in the game two. Was in the first half, but yeah, I believe two.
Okay, so you had the run by Jeff Sims. Mm-hmm. That was a design run up the middle, and you had two defenders there who took shots on them, and your quarterback trucked the two defenders.
Yeah, and that was the most impressive moment for Jeff Sims to me, and something that does separate him a little bit from Casey Thompson. I don't know if Casey would have done that.
Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. Take the guesswork out of landscaping with our free, easy-to-use design program. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape blocks at the best prices. Get started on your dream landscape now. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your project started today. Save big money
at Menards. But, I mean, again, does he do enough to overcome Casey's edge in the passing game? But, yeah, the other run, like you were saying, two of them, Gabe Irvin had a 7-yard run as well.
I thought offensive line was throwing lookout blocks. Cochran struggled. He struggled. Bryce did fairly.
Well, I like the
Nouri struggled at times. When I say struggled, that means you didn't do a good job of blocking in space. Blocking in space takes knowing tracks and where a guy is going to be, not where he is. Understanding where the ball carrier is going. So I thought that the offensive line as a whole, I thought that they did okay, but I thought that wasn't – I can guarantee you they're going to be playing better in the fall than they did in the spring game because they'll get more time. They'll get another – well, we got another four or five months before the first game. So, you know, you'll have that. You'll be working out. You'll be eating well. You'll be trying to get your body in better shape. I thought the guys looked better. It was that for me, it was that second group of linemen.
I like that big Hood guy. Whoa.
No, I like Hood, but I don't like his feet. Yeah. I like that second group of linemen, though. The Gunnar Gatula, I think he was on that lineman. That set of linemen that went in the game, I liked them. They were all youngsters, and they were getting after it. I like that. So the future is bright at offensive line. We got some things we got to clean up before Minnesota, though. We have to. Based on this game, I told you, I was going to give you a fair assessment after the game because I'll be able to see on paper and on tape what they did. Paper, stats.
Yeah.
Tape, I can go back and watch it today if I wanted to.
Well, here's the thing, okay? I like, though. I like the Hood, but that like this guy on the text line said, 5530, he said that Hood just need to lose weight. I think once he be here and get into this weight program that we have, not saying anything wrong about Georgia football weight room, but if he can lift weights the Nebraska way and they teach him, the sky's the limit for that big kid because – you can't get around that kid, man. You're not going to run him over, and he just got to get his arms on you. If he can get his arms on you, that's 9 times out of 10, he's good to go. But I did see what I like out of him before he got hurt.
Yeah, and to be fair to the offensive line too, they had to play. I mean, they played a lot. You saw the gray jerseys out there. They were, you know,
13 guys,
not getting as much rotation as the other team. So, or the other players on the team. So maybe that factors in a little bit. But I got to tell you guys, I mean, each side. I mean, you talk about totals averaging less than 3 yards per carry in the ground game. You talk about totals, 18 tackles for loss, 12 on one side, 6 on the other. You know, I know the offensive line was somewhat the problem. They were, and you know, somewhat last year, and then they were, you know, kind of beat up and having to play extra in this game as well. But I going into the game, that was a concern. Coming out of that game, that remains a concern.
Yeah, I'm still concerned about the offensive line. I'm still concerned about the quarterback play. And like I said, when you talk about those two positions, those are going to be key to us being able to be successful against the Minnesotas, against the Colorados, against the teams that we're going to have to beat. And I'm going to tell you now, this is a project, man. We are not a talented football team across the board. We got work to do. We got talent, but I mean, just as far as football talent, knowing what you're doing, grabbing great technique, you know, it's going to be a work in progress. Now, let's skip down to running backs. I want to know, before I give you guys my grade, and I want to know, if you had to go into a football game today, who would be your top four running backs?
Well,
based on the spring game.
Okay. I'm going to give you from the bottom up. So I'm going to start at four. Gabe Irvin.
From 1-4.
Who started? He started the game.
Yeah, he started the game off. The first run, I wasn't very impressed with that. I think he could, if he would have, you know, kept his head up and didn't try to run with the lineman, it was a better run than it should have been. Now,
8 carries for 20 yards, a touchdown, but 2.5 per carry for Gabriel.
Yeah. 3.
And a couple fumbles. Don't forget that.
Yeah. So my number 3 right now, it has to be A.J. Allen. He was on the second team, which was on the red team, which didn't generate a lot of things. You know, they only ran the ball 23 times compared to the white team 48 times. Now, the thing about that is because they had Richard Torres, so he wasn't able to have the mobile quarterback to take out the way like Jeff Sims would be able to do it for the white team. Now, 3, now my number 2, I go with Ramir Johnson. You know, he had a great game, but my number 1 still is Anthony Grant. You know, 14 carries, 47 yards.
Okay, Bach?
Yeah, I would probably, you know, I the A.J. Allen fumble kind of sticks to you, but we know how good he was last year. Obviously, he's had a few not great moments here, including the spring game in camp. So he's a guy that I think has the upside to be better than any of these guys. But right now, just based on yesterday's, you know, on the game on Saturday, I think I'd start there at 4th. And then I have Gabe Irvin at 3rd. I'd actually go Anthony Grant 2nd. He looks maybe closer to what he looked early in the year. But, the numbers resemble basically what we saw for the second half of the year. Remember, in the first half of the year, he was almost a household name. He's like a top 15 running back nationwide, and then kind of sputtered down the stretch and couldn't quite get to 1,000 yards. Again, yesterday, 14 carries for 34 yards, 2.5 yards per carry. That sounds like second half of the year Anthony Grant. Ramir Johnson, again, didn't get the early carries. Maybe another staff that's not going to give him a shot looked the best. Averaged 5.8 yards per carry. Was making moves to kind of in open field to try to gain more. He looked the most elusive. He looks like he has the best game breaking ability to me. I want to see Ramir Johnson out on that field.
Yeah.
When I look at this, it's interesting stat. Out of all four of these running backs, who has the most yards? Actual game yards.
Anthony Grant.
Perfect. Who's number 2?
Ramir.
600 plus. Who's number
3?
That'd be close.
Gabe Irvin. Gabe Irvin and A.J. Allen, 2 yards apart.
It's Gabe Irvin and A.J. Allen. Okay, so here's what I'm saying. Here's what it is for me. Okay, number 4, A.J. Allen. I thought he did well, but he put the ball on the ground. Okay, I thought he ran hard when he got his opportunities. But if you put the ball on the ground as a running back, you are useless. Okay, Dave Irvin had two fumbles. The run he had was his best run of the entire day. You know, he got his shoulders down, and I thought he did well getting into the end zone, making a couple of guys miss. But he didn't necessarily shock me and impress me. Ramir Johnson, on the other hand, I've always said, and I'm on with Bach, Ramir Johnson deserves to be out on that football field somewhere running that pill, because he got back to a cutback. Only real running backs can get back to holes. Real running backs can see holes and slither through them, and then they keep their feet turning and they fall forward. That, to me, I like that out of Ramir. Okay? He's got to continue to work on pass proing, you know what I mean, picking up blitzes and of the such. I think Gabe struggled a little bit in that as well. But I thought Anthony Grant, with his blitz pickups, with his ability to run between the tackles. And let me tell you, when there was nothing there, there was nothing there. There was lookout blocks. There was all types of things being thrown, but real blocks. So I thought Anthony Grant, he looked polished. He looked like he got his shoulder lean. And I liked how he hit those holes. And so I would go with him number one, Ramir Johnson number two, and Gabe Irvin and the youngster as a number three, you know, 3-1 A and B. That's where I'm at with it as right now.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun to watch that battle go on, and I think it'll go on through the fall too. Is that Anthony Grant certainly has the numbers, and maybe he's your most reliable, so maybe he'll get the lion's share of those carries. But you know, I think this is a staff as opposed to last year that's going to mix it up a little bit more, try to get more on the ground game if they can pick up those first downs. So I think you'll see more. I mean, this. You know, we talk at times like I need my number one guy, or should this be a running back by committee? To me, it looks somewhat like a running back by committee, and that's not a bad thing because I think they have the guys there to make up a good committee. I don't know if they have the number one back.
I think they do. I think Grant is the number one back, and I think Ramir is a great number two. He gives you something different. He gives you a different game than Grant does. He's more of a slasher type. He's got good feet. He can see holes. He's got vision. And so I think that 1-2 punch, I don't know if we can go 3-4 deep. You know, if you have to because of injury, then you do. But I think those 1-2 guys at the top of the food chain should get the lion's share of the carries. If they're still playing at the top of their food game and they get bigger, stronger, faster over this offseason, you know, this summer season going into this fall, I think those two guys will give you your best chance to win. And I'm not taking anything away from Gabe and the youngster. I'm just simply saying, based on the spring, those two guys look like they were a couple of notches above those two guys.
All right. We're going to take it to break. This is the Ticket 93.7. I'm Terrell Farley, and I'm with
Bach
and the Captain.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.